Jesus, our ascended Lord and Savior. Suffering in the Bible is the crucible of faith, the refining fire that burns away the silliness, the superficiality, the sugar-coated spirituality, and leaves behind the gold, the pure gold of God's Word. Trust in Christ, the Spirit created faith. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "We must learn to regard people less in light of what they do or don't do, and more in light of what they suffer." Suffering is the way of Christ. Jesus came to suffer, a man of sorrows, acquainted with suffering. Jesus knows what it's like to suffer. He understands human pain to his bones. He experienced the anguish of God's silence. He knows the darkness of facing one's death alone. He knows our pain. He knows our suffering. He is the one with suffering, and He is the one with us when we suffer. Christians have no special exemption from suffering. They are not spared the great tribulation of this life. To be in God's favor does not mean that you will not suffer. Baptism affords us no get-out-of-jail-free card, no easy detour around the valley of the shadow of death, no way to avoid the cross. It is error of thinking to believe that because Jesus suffered for us, therefore we don't have to suffer. Jesus' Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount tells us, it is the mourning, it is the weak, the meek, the hungry, the thirsty, the persecuted, they are blessed. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it come upon you to test you. Peter says this to a scattered church, suffering Christians. In his first letter, he addresses the exiles of the dispersion. They were suddenly scattered all over Asia Minor by persecution. They were forced to leave their homes. They had to leave their livelihoods, some their families, and even when they were in exile, they weren't safe. They were easy targets, actually. They were the outsiders. They were the refugees. They were those Christians. They had a bullseye on their backs. The suffering that Peter is talking about is not a general kind of suffering that humanity goes through as living in a fallen world. St. Paul talks about that kind of suffering in Romans 5 and 8 when he says, "We rejoice in our sufferings as Christians because suffering produces patient endurance and character and hope." Suffering is the gym that exercises faith. As believers, we know that suffering and death are not the last word. But our sufferings do not compare with the glory that will be revealed in us on the day we rise from the dead and are seen in the glory of Jesus. The kind of suffering that Peter is talking about and that he's speaking of here is suffering for the faith, suffering for being a Christian. Certainly meant a loss of their home, a hasty trip as refugees to another place. It meant inconvenience and hardship. It meant living off the good graces of others. That's why hospitality in the New Testament is so prevalent. It may have meant arrest and imprisonment, torture, perhaps death. of that list of the first apostles that we heard in Acts, only John died a natural death of old age. They could have spared themselves all of this trouble by simply being quiet, publicly renounce the faith while having two fingers crossed behind their backs. Just treasure Jesus in their hearts and go on secretly, yet publicly go on with the pagan flow. But they really could not do that, and they would not do that. These Christians were marked. Their baptisms marked them as soldiers of the crucified one. They would not betray their commander in chief. They would not go AWOL. They would not betray their Lord who died for them. They would not betray their heavenly birth that made them priests to God, the holy, the chosen, the elect, to declare the praises of Him who called them out of darkness into His marvelous light. With this letter, Peter is preparing them for what lay ahead. There was a fiery ordeal to test them. And it was coming. And they should not be surprised when it happens. Nor should you when the time comes to endure suffering, hardship, or loss because of the name of Jesus. And it will come to us, too, as crazy as that may sound. Consider this as an investment sermon, probably one that you will not need today or tomorrow, but you're going to need it one day because the fiery test is coming our way, too. We live in peace, liberty, because of brave men and women who have fought for us. That leads us to comfy false security. We have freedom to assemble here this morning without fear. You were not afraid this morning. We have freedom to express our views and beliefs in the marketplace of ideas. I know people don't like the Christian message, but we have the freedom to practice the faith that we hold. We don't have to scurry off to church in fearful silence and hide behind closed doors, hiding our crosses and our Bibles, as they do many places in the world. We don't have to pray with our eyes open. We don't have to cast an anxious look at the stranger sitting next to us, wondering if he or she has a bomb or a weapon, if he or she is a secret government agent. In many parts of the world, the greeter at the door of the church is not there to make sure that you have a bulletin and are greeted with a nice warm smile and a friendly handshake. He's there to make sure that you're not armed and dangerous. I don't know if we will experience these things in my lifetime. The Christians of the next generation may. It's been said, I will die peacefully in my bed. My successor will die in prison. And the next successor will die a martyr. The looming clouds are already on the horizon, but for the moment, the suffering that we endure, more of the suffering of insult, ridicule, maybe the loss of a friendship, maybe discrimination, maybe the loss of a promotion. Maybe your neighbor won't talk to you. Maybe you'll lose credibility. Such light sufferings, if I can even call those suffering, have caused many to wilt and wilt away. It doesn't take much for some. Jesus warned, the seed that falls on shallow, rocky soil. The word that is heard in a shallow, emotional way, where initial joy and enthusiasm wilts under the heat of persecution. Superficial Christianity cannot stand, cannot survive the heat of persecution. Entertainment Christianity, consumer Christianity, cannot stand the heat of persecution. Peter reminds us all that the devil is still a prowling lion looking for someone to devour. The predators always go for the weak, the ones that are in the herd, but they're weak. The isolated, those who are separated from the pack. The devil is defeated, and he is resistible. Peter says, resist him, standing firm in the faith. Not your faith, but the faith. The faith as in the faith that was delivered to the saints. The devil would use those times of testing as times of temptation to cause you to doubt and fear and to waver and to wonder if God really is in charge here, or if God actually even exists. He will cause you to doubt God's verdict in Christ, that you stand justified before Him on account of Jesus' righteousness. He will cause you to doubt your baptism, that it saves you through the death and resurrection of Jesus. He will tempt you to look inward instead of outward, to look to self instead of to the cross of Christ, to fix your eyes on what you do instead of what Christ has done. To suffer for being a Christian is a great gift. It's an honor. In the military, they give medals and ribbons to people who are valiant in battle, who have been injured in battle. What if we gave away medals in the church at the times when you suffer insult, that you got a ribbon? We don't do that. Peter says, if you suffer for being a Christian, that's your medal of honor. Don't be ashamed. Glorify God in the name of Jesus and entrust your lives to a faithful master. He will see you through times of trial and testing. Judgment begins in the household of God, Peter reminds us. We don't want to hear that, do we? No, we want to hear about all the heathen, the unbelieving masses, that they are going to be judged and finally get what's coming to them. We want to hear about God's justice and how He is going to set everything square in the end, just like the movies. The bad guys always get it, and they never live at the end of the movie. We don't want to hear that judgment begins with us, the family of God, right here in God's family. God uses persecution and suffering and hardship. They are the tools in His hand. He doesn't cause it in the sense of stirring it up. The devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh do that. But God uses it. He uses the heat of persecution like a fire to burn away the junk, the superficiality, the trite, the trivial, and goes for the gold, the nuggets of the genuine faith in Christ. In the book of Acts, persecution energizes the church. When they were imprisoned and beaten for preaching in the name of Jesus, Peter and John rejoiced and gave thanks that they were considered worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. When Paul was plucked from the road to Damascus and he was made an apostle, the Lord said, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. In Acts, persecution is the engine that drives the spread of the gospel. The apostles and the believers are scattered, and the word of the Lord spreads like a seed blowing in the wind. The Russian dictator Vladimir Lenin tried to get rid of Christianity and purge it from Russia. Finally, in failure, he concluded that Christianity is like a nail. The harder you drive it, the deeper it goes. You cannot get rid of it. Suffering for Jesus' sake drives faith even deeper. It refines and purifies faith. If you are called, rejoice and be glad and wear it like a medal of honor. Remember, tuck this sermon in your back pocket and take it out when the time comes. You will suffer for Jesus' sake. Your suffering honors him. His suffering was for your sins. Your suffering is for his name. You will be humbled. You can expect it. It's good. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You will be humbled. Jesus was humbled to death in order to save you. He humbled himself for you, reaching down to you, joining his suffering life with you. He was humbled in order to exalt you to the right hand of God. And in your humbling, you will be exalted by him. He will lift you up. He will raise you from death. He will restore you, confirm and strengthen and establish you. You can count on that. He promised. To him be dominion and power and glory forever and ever. Amen.